Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, Relationship Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. Tomorrow's the last day of the month, and for some reason, in my brain, I thought today was Dream Theme Thursday, and I posted the show Dream Theme Thursday all day long, only to find out in the evening that my show was not Dream Theme Thursday tomorrow. And part of it was, too, that I got a lot of dreams in my email. So I just for some reason, and I got them on Monday, I kept thinking that it was coming. And so it is Wednesday. It is August 30th. And after that, I thought, okay, because my topic for our relationship day was just about the boomerang in relationships. Like what you accept in your relationships is what your relationships become. When people say, how come my relationship has this in it or has that in it? And if you accept these subtle little movements, your relationship is going to be the subtle little movements you accept. So how many examples can we have of this in our lives? So the other thing about relationships is that sometimes when we meet somebody and we're excited about them and we don't know them yet, but we tell them everything and they tell us everything, and we overlook all that beginning conversation because we're so interested and we're heightened and we're excited and, you know, we're still thinking about all the stuff we were taught to think about, the first kiss, the first, you know, this and the first that, and you're going on and on about, you know, different places you're going to go, and, you know, you're establishing your relationship. And they can tell you anything they want to say. And you'd be like, oh, wow, okay, wow, so you did that in your life. And the fact that they're telling you makes you feel like they actually understand why they've done certain things. But they don't. They're just telling you what they've done so far. It's like a biography time. But then later on in the relationship, let's say 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, all of the sudden, you're seeing their history repeat itself with you in your relationship. And you start getting a few red flags here, and they're not big ones, a little lie here. You find something that's kind of off color at their home. Just weird stuff, little things. And you think, oh, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to cause trouble, and I don't, you know, want to make the person mad, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. And then you start remembering that when you first met this person, they actually told you a lot of this stuff that you are not now uncovering. I even had someone who does these little lies very easily, doesn't even think of them as lies, tell someone when they first met them, I sure hope I don't lie to you. And the person thought, well, what are they going to lie about? And then the person felt special that this person did not want to lie to them. Instead of thinking, what would they ever lie to me about? Because you can't even imagine it in the beginning. But later on, when you start questioning what's being said to you or not said to you, you start being concerned. So let's start there. Let's say you say something. And you guys, you know, you really love each other. There's a lot of sincerity between you, but you're starting to see these little failures here and there emotionally within yourself. You're starting to go, yeah, something's wrong here, something's wrong there. And then they start adding up. Those failures start adding up. And you know this person does not want to self-sabotage themselves, but they're actually doing it right before your eyes. And they can't even see it. But then they can see it enough to hide it. They can see it enough to conceal information towards you. But it's like really petty stuff. It's almost like petty theft. I'm going to rob the relationship right here and there and there. And if you don't notice, that's going to become our relationship. And it will if you keep your mouth shut. One of the worst things anyone can do in a relationship is not take notice of everything that happens into the relationship. I was going to say into the account, because it is an account. It's an account of self-accounting. So when you start to see things, just ask questions. Do you think that what you just told me, was that completely all the information? Or did you skip something? Because I feel like something's missing. When you think that maybe they're not telling the truth. Because in the beginning, it's hardest to say, hey, wait a minute, why? What did you just do? And then all of a sudden you remember what was told to you in the beginning. I sure hope I don't lie to you. So now you're building this up, but you can stay in the relationship. You just have to build standards into the relationship so the relationship can rise, as opposed to sinking to the level that brought him to a continuous merry-go-round of relationships. Because by the time you're 6 months in, 7 months in, 8 months in, you know, nobody can hide. Nobody actually wants to hide. It to them is just completely normal. And you can do it that way if you so choose. You can just stay in and repeat history and take it and take it till you can't take it anymore, and then you could leave. And then the other person can start again, and so can you. Or you can say, you know what? There is good here. And this is worth paying attention to. But how do we do it and feel safe? Because we're always settling and setting standards in our life everywhere we go. Whether we're at work, we accept a certain job or not. That's why they say everything you get in life is everything you deserve. Everything you've asked for, everything you think you're worth. It's because the standards you set are the standards you get. Never forget that. The standards you set are the standards you get. So we set these realistic ones, and then we have the standards that we don't think of as standards by what we accept and do not accept in our daily lives with our partners. If we suspect that our partner's starting to do the little petty lie thing. It's not even a big thing. The things they, let's say, for example, he's lying about aren't even big things. It's that he just left out a conversation he had here or she had there or, you know, and they're pertinent conversations. They're not just the normal conversations. They might always be conversations with the opposite sex, let's say. So they tell you everything but those things. They won't tell you they ran into an old girlfriend or boyfriend. They won't tell you that they went out to lunch with a friend that's of the opposite sex or of the same sex, but they're interested in or they're wooed by or whatever. Or they won't tell you like those kinds of things. But then you end up finding out. Most people who have a habit of lying also have a habit of snitching on themselves. Nobody has to tell on them. They tell on themselves because they forget the lie. And they just mention something, and then you're like, wait a minute, what just happened? You said that happened a week ago? Oh, yeah, I did. And then you're like, that doesn't make sense. Why would you not have told me? I was right there with you that day. Oh, but, you know, while I was at work, I did this, and I did that, and you know, I didn't tell you. And then you know it's weird. And then you try to question it and they put you off and make you feel like you're crazy. They dump it all right back on you and make you feel like, you know, they try to put a wall around you asking a question. Now, if you bit and you decided not to ask any more questions, you're going to have a relationship that just rolls around in circles with all these things you haven't been able to express. And then what will happen later on is when something does happen that you feel like you can say something, all this stuff is going to come out and explode. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. So it is worth your time, because somebody who has a habit of introducing that discomfortable feeling of lying or not telling the truth or omitting truth or whatever it is about truth that they have issues with, because you didn't walk in with that issue, they did. And now they're going to have trouble dealing with that issue. But you're going to have that issue, and you're going to adopt that issue as your own, as a sign of the people you are as a couple, if you don't keep getting to the bottom of it in the beginning. This woman, it took her four attempts, four different conversations, exhausting conversations, going circular in motion because the person did not want to tell her the truth. Oh, I'm so busy, I forgot, it didn't matter, it didn't have anything to do with you, blah, blah, blah. Well, she knows none of that is true. The person tells her everything, and now they just hold that out, and then they also hold out on still telling the truth. For two reasons. They feel they're going to get in trouble for that, even if the couple agreed that these kinds of things don't matter. So now this person's playing games. And it's almost like catch the mouse. And I told the person that if you are having an issue with someone and it's where they're constantly doing these little lies, you're going to constantly be babysitting. And you're going to have a child in front of you that you have to babysit. So you have to make a choice. If this took you four attempts to get to the truth, and you don't have the energy. You're exhausted every time. You go in circular motion, and the other person's holding fast on their side, and it's like trying to teach a baby to walk every single day, Groundhog Day. If that's what's happening, you have to make a decision, because you either keep fighting and keep calling it out, and that's going to be the standard that you keep forever, or you tell that person once they tell you the truth, because they will get to it, because you just end up wearing them down. Once they actually start to tell you the truth, you have to tell them, if this ever happens again, you no longer have a relationship with me. They have to know that there's a consequence, because if they're going to act like a child, you have to treat them like a child in that respect, because that part of them is stunted. You have to tell them, we need to rise, because I am not going to have a relationship in this place. It's too petty. It's too contrived. I'll help you get help. I will help you stay on track because I love you. But I'm not going to stay for the disrespect that I'm going to be in for if I do stay and allow you to get away with this lie. So now you're not fighting your partner. You're fighting the lie. Because most people who will lie, it's a known fact that they get addicted to lying. It becomes easy for them, and they don't even care what they say anymore. But then what happens is the value of what they say doesn't matter anymore. How many people do we know that we say, oh, they never remember what they said. Oh, they don't care what they said. Oh, they never tell the truth. Because we build these biological rhythms to each other. And then the energy exchange gets very, very weak. We get this weak energy exchange instead of a strong energy exchange. So if it continues, that weak energy exchange starts focusing more on what isn't working than what is, because the energy is too weak for you to overcome it with enough good that the two of you share, because one ends up toppling the other. So whatever you accept from the beginning, you're going, if it doesn't get solved and doesn't get attention paid to it, you're going to repeat and repeat and repeat until you're just over it. If we do not fight for the best of us in our relationships, no one can or will. There's no one else that can be in your relationship except you and the other person. There's no one else who will know the truth of your relationship except you and the other person. Some relationships on the outside, when you say, I don't know what the heck keeps those two together, can have one of the best relationships you've ever, ever known. Because the two of them understand why they are there. Regardless of the issues around them, they will know what's between them. I can always tell when somebody's planning to leave somebody by how they start talking about them. They will jump from, I love this person, we're working this out, we're doing this, to, do you know what this person has done? You can just, the conversation just flips because you are now setting up a way to convince yourself and to convince others. Now you've stepped out of the relationship. Whatever goes on between the two of you has halted, and now your standard is to get out. And now you are preparing yourself mentally and socially and physically, and you, by your conversation, are now preparing everybody else. How we decide to share our lives is one of the only things in our own hands when we are working as a working partner in a relationship. So how do we raise that bar in our lives and accept that we deserve to live the best lives we can in our relationship? And it all goes back to what you accept early on. Because once you're in a relationship, it's hard to say, well, you know what? We need to rework this or rework that. But what I, when I work with people who are doing this to each other, what I do is say, halt your normal behavior. Stop it. Don't do what you normally do again until you both have found a way to pay attention to the issue at hand. Really think about that. Don't just show up again and act like nothing happened because you guys both made up, but you didn't really agree on how to resolve the issue. Agree on how to resolve the issue and then make up. It doesn't mean you have to fight the whole time. It just means that you need to halt the normal behavior. Otherwise, you will not be able to reroute the behavior because the other person will say, he got mad for a couple of days. It's okay if I do it again. He'll come back. And then you have more incentive to not change your behavior or grow or rise in the relationship. But if you say, okay, especially if it's a new relationship and the partners don't live together, if you live together, you just have to stop allowing the person to do the things that reward your relationship until you know what kind of relationship you're living in. Because if you don't do that, then resentment will build up, the stuff will build up, and that's why things don't get resolved along the way. It's easy if the two people, the partners, do not live together because, you know, you can tell, like, okay, one of them can tell the other, you know what, I know that this issue is not resolved. I understand that I don't understand the issue. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what you're doing, and I don't understand why you're doing it. So in this time, instead of me just coming over and sleeping over and playing house, I'm going to retreat until I can find a way to understand this or retract. If you want to come visit, you are welcome to come visit. We can go have dinner, and you can go back home. We can talk about this, but until we find a way to resolve this between us, we're not going to just resume a regularly scheduled program, because then what's going to happen is our regularly scheduled program is going to come and hit us in the face again. And it's really important in a relationship, instead of just saying, well, you did this and I did that and I felt like this, because now everyone's defenses are up. Saying we need to rise. We need to find a recovery. We need to talk about this. We need to give each other a chance to speak. When both are counted in and nobody is blamed, it's just the fact that you don't understand why this person needs to lie and that person doesn't understand why they need to do it and pit up against you when you've done nothing for them to even do that for. So then you have to separate the issue from the person, so that the person who's doing the issue, instead of being blamed and told they're bad and thrown to a corner, and then it's about, well, I was right and you were wrong, because that's not what you want, because that's not going to sustain a long-term relationship. So what you need to do is truly work on the recovery as a team. Well, why do you think you do that? Well, I don't know. Well, I think I'm going to get in trouble if I tell you the truth. But why do you think you're going to get in trouble if you tell me the truth? Well, I don't know. That's what's happened in my past. Okay, can we agree that you know and I know that we allow each other to do things, but when we're hiding them, it gives the appearance that something is wrong. That something is wrong. And then the other one will say, oh, maybe I get how that feels. So instead of, when I catch the lie, instead of you attacking me and trying to make me feel stupid, like, why should you have even asked? And, oh, brother, there she goes again. Okay, are you going to go after the last five things you went over too? And you start attacking. So the other person will shut down and not ask you anymore. You're not going to have anyone to do that to after a while. And then you're just going to get back on the merry-go-round, do this, stay with someone for a year or two or 6 months. And then you're going to have to find someone else and find, and maybe that's how you get off. Maybe that's what you want. Most people don't. But facing ourselves is the first thing that we have that raises the standard of any of our relationships. Knowing what we want in our own life. And the only reason why it's important for you to define in your heart what would be the best relationship you could ever have is so that you have the standard in your head already. So if something pushes up against that, that isn't okay, then you don't accept it. People ask all the time, how did you stay after he hit you? People ask all the time because nobody can figure it out, but he hit you. And it's because they become very nice right afterwards. Very apologetic. All of a sudden, you're a queen or he's a king, depending on which one hurt the other. And usually the first hit isn't very hard, isn't very crazy. So what they do is they end up building thresholds. They've built a standard into their relationship that now they have a recovery routine. See, the recovery, if you don't have a recovery when something goes wrong, because something will eventually come where the two people in a relationship disagree. But the most important part is that if you have a recovery route, you have a way of recovering. No matter what the problem is, you both have a template to handle it. We don't think of needing that. But that in itself is the one thing that keeps people together over the years, is to have an acceptable recovery outlet when we disagree. If you don't have that, you technically do not have a relationship because it cannot sustain. The negative stuff will be your standard. The fighting will be your standard. And when you have two emotionally unhealthy people, they can stay together forever. When you have two healthy emotional people, they can stay together forever. But when you have one healthy and one battling their own stuff, and then introducing that into the relationship, and now fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt are all both of your problems instead of just theirs, and you don't have a recovery outlet, how are you going to stay? The healthy one's going to go, I'm banging my head against the wall. This person can't hear me. This person is doing this. This person is doing that. It's amazing how simple it is. It's amazing that just like you agree on everything else, you have to agree on how to deal with each other when you do disagree. When something is tougher, when something is harder, it's going to show up. Doesn't mean anyone's bad. People feel like they're failures if there's an argument, so they don't say anything. Or they're embarrassed, or they don't know how to approach the person. But you've got to grow wings. Otherwise, the two of you aren't going anywhere. You're just going to stay in this lateral circular movement, and you're going to hang on until something happens, and then you're going to have a way of fighting, a way of arguing, a way of hurting each other's feelings, and then letting enough time pass by to kind of get over it, and then you both jump in again, and then it happens again. When there's a fire in a building, there's an exit plan. There's exits around every door you need to walk out of just to get out of the building safely. If you don't know that there's an exit plan, or you don't understand it, or you weren't told how to exit, you're going to burn. We all need a recovery plan. And sometimes, and I would suggest this, I do suggest this to newer couples, is in the beginning, talk about, you know what? Because that's when you're the happiest. If we run into a snag, if we run into a hard part, if we run into a disagreement, how do we want to deal with approaching each other? Because that's when you're the most open. But once you set that plan in motion mentally, you probably will never really need it in the way you would need it had you not done that. If we're going to be evolved and we're going to know better, Maya Angelou always said that. I love that. When you know better, do better. Anyone listening right now, no matter what stage you are in a relationship, you can introduce this to your relationship. You can also learn to introduce that, you know, with your children. Hey, you know what? You guys are kids. You're now teenagers. When things go wrong, because they probably will, let's talk about now how we will deal with it. Talk about getting a step ahead of yourselves. Talk about raising a standard. Imagine the kid who gets that from their parents. My God, they have something huge that they can use for the rest of their lives. You will get what you believe you deserve. If you fight for the things you want in life, they don't have to just be a car and a house and that, but a higher standard of your everyday communication, of the people you live with closest who influence your life. If you've chosen to live with people, gosh, give it everything you have. Give it everything you have. Because everything fails on our lack of ability to communication over communicating. But what a plus that is. What a helper that is. What a standard that is. To just be able to say, you know what? If something happens, I have an exit route of conversation without having to hold that in and sleep with my heart pounding. We're rising, you guys. We really, really, really are. So I only have like 10 seconds left. I wanted to remind you, oh, is Dream Theme Thursday. Send in your dreams. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.